Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And we're going to pick up in verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. This word effeminate, in the broadest scope, it's identifying men who think they're women and women who think they're men. I mean, it's really what it comes down to. Abusers of themselves with mankind. That is a really nice way of talking about homosexuality. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, he tells you right there, if you're doing this stuff, you do not go to heaven. And if you don't go to heaven, where do you think you will go? It's called the lake of fire. Now look in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, or a better way to say that would be when the works of the flesh are manifest. They are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And that phrase, they which do such things, that means if you incorporate these things into your life, it's not just a, oh man, I messed up last night, made a wrong decision, and, you know, God, I'll never do that again. No, it's talking about when you do this. Maybe not every day, maybe not every Friday night, but when you're doing these things. And then over in, let's see here, Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5. For you know this, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. What would deception of vain words would be? Oh, it's okay. You don't have to worry about this. You can do these things, and you know, you're going to be okay because you're a Christian. Everything's fine. He says, no, let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience, meaning the people who are lost. We already know that. We already know the kind of judgment that's going to be poured out on them. And he's saying, no, look, don't let somebody deceive you and think that you are exempt from this kind of a judgment if you're doing this stuff. And then he says, be ye not therefore partakers with them. Don't do it. Don't do it. He says, don't do it. Now look over in Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, begin reading in verse 1. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Now that's really interesting. See, that word in verse 1, the word works, it's talking about your actions in life. And so he says, I know what you're doing. You know, there was a song years ago by Charlie Rich, really popular. It was called Behind Closed Doors. No one knows what goes on behind closed doors. Real catchy tune. Guess what? God does. He says, I know your works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest, and art dead. In other words, you put on a show, and everybody thinks everything's okay with you, but I know better. He says, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. This should be one of the most scariest passages in all the Bible to Christians. Now, what I've just done is read in 1 Corinthians 6, Galatians 5, Ephesians 5, and here in Revelation chapter 3. These four passages are identifying for Christians the things you cannot do in your life and expect to go to heaven. Included in all of these words, and we're not breaking these words down tonight, but it would include the drinking. It would include doing drugs. It would include pornography. It would include every kind of perversion that you can think of. It would include a lifestyle of being a liar and a cheat in business, where you just rip people off, and on it goes. In other words, it's everything that is opposite the character and the integrity of Almighty God, the righteousness and the true holiness that you were made of when you got born again. If you do these things, if this is how you live, you're going to hell. That's just the way it is. A lot of people don't want to hear this kind of talk. And there'll be a lot of people in churches, they'd probably want to, put them up, argue with that. There's no way. The grace of God, the blood of Jesus. Listen, the grace of God and the blood of Jesus has made it possible for you to live free from these things. Amen. And not do this. And so God is, in fact, in another place there in Peter, it states, God says, I'm holy, you be holy. Live it. We can live holy. I've shared this so many times. When I was growing up, we basically heard, well, you're going to sin. Just get used to it. Just prepare for it. You're going to sin. You don't have any choice. Got an old sin nature. But now I find out, no, that's not true. No, I am born again. Old things passed away, all things new. I am created in the image and likeness of God on a spiritual level. So therefore, these things that I have just read to you, if you do them, if you live this way, you're not going to make it into heaven. You will not make it into eternity with Jesus Christ. And I hope these kind of things scare people. Now, seriously. Because there's another place in Scripture, it talks about, how terrible it is to fall into the hands of an angry God. I'm telling you now, man, you've got people out there, Christians, they think everything is okay. And it's not. All right, now, with this in mind, what we're going to do is go back to the Old Testament and take a look at three different kings who were a part of Israel's history. Okay? Now, first off, turn to 1 Kings chapter 16. 1 Kings chapter 16. I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. More and more, God shows me, and not because I'm special, I mean, he would show this to you as well, any of you, but he's revealing to me how so much in the Old Testament is a warning for the body of Christ. Examples for us. This is why there's so much in the Old Testament to let us know, look, and in Romans it talks about people didn't get away with stuff back then, and you're not going to get away with stuff now. Well, in 1 Kings chapter 16, look at verse 29. And in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab, the son of Omri, to reign over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. Now, this guy was bad. He was bad. And he was a king of Israel, and he should have known better. But he ignored what he knew. And he just, what he did, he totally, completely yielded to the flesh. Now, if we were going to put it, say, in a little bit different terminology, he lived 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He lived Galatians chapter 5. He lived Ephesians chapter 5. He lived Revelation 3. You understand what I mean by that? In other words, this guy, and Scripture doesn't lay out everything that he did, but it lays out a whole bunch of what he did. And we all know about Jezebel and so forth. But the thing is, Ahab, look at this. He did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. You know, there was a song years ago by a guy named Jim Croce. It said something about you don't mess around with Jim. You don't spit in the wind. You don't tug on Superman's cape. You don't pull the mask off the old Lone Ranger, and you don't provoke the Lord to anger. Okay, I changed it a little bit there. That's what this guy did. No respect for God. No reverence for God. Absolutely none. But I'll guarantee you, he thought everything was okay. Now, we're not going to read more about Ahab, but in another place, Ahab is trying to get God's favor. He calls in prophets, so on and so forth. So he thinks everything's all right. He blames Elijah for problems. He says, you're the one who's troubling Israel. This guy is provoking the Lord, and he blames Elijah. So you're the one that's provoking Israel. This guy was horribly messed up, but he thought he was okay. He thought everything was fine, and the whole time here he is provoking the Lord. All right, now let's look at a different king. Turn over to 2 Kings 22. 2 Kings chapter 22. And we're going to begin reading in verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah of Boscath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. Now we're going to be skipping through some of this, but I'll just give you a summary. There was a priest, high priest, his name was Hilkiah. And Josiah, well, it says here in verse 3, and it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah. Now, he was 8 years old when he started to reign. This is the 18th year of his reign. So he's what? 26 years old. Now, when he's 26 years old, he gets Hilkiah, and he says, look, I want you to get the word of God, and I want you to read it to me. I want to, you tell me what it says. So Hilkiah gets the word, and if you look over in verse 11, and it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, he rent his clothes. Now, after he rent his clothes and starts talking about what he said, you know, here's what I expect of you and the priests, etc., and so forth. So you jump over to chapter 23 and begin reading in verse 4. And the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, and the priests of the second order, and the keepers of the door, to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal, and for the grove, and for the host of heaven, that's astrology. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron, and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. Now stop right there and look at this. He told them to bring all the vessels that were made for Baal out of the what? The temple of the Lord. They were in the temple of the Lord. And so they had taken idols and put them in the church. And so he says, you get that stuff out of there now. And so they did. And it says that, he burned them and put the ashes in Bethel. And then it says in verse 5, and he put down the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah and in the places round about Jerusalem, them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun and to the moon and to the planets and to all the host of heaven. There again you're seeing astrology. And he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem unto the brook Kidron, and burned it at the brook Kidron, and stamped it small to powder, and cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of the people. And he broke down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. Do you know what this verse 7 is saying? There were houses of ill repute for homosexuals right next door to the church. And he brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense from Geba to Beersheba, and broke down the high places of the gates that were in the entering in of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were on a man's left hand at the gate of the city. And he says, nevertheless, the priests of the high places came not to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they did eat of the unleavened bread among their brethren. So you got some people here who really aren't cooperating the way they should have. But it says, he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or daughter to pass through the fire to Molech. Okay, very briefly, this I've taught on this years ago, but Topheth and this valley of Hinnom, this was a place where they offered child sacrifice, and what they did was throw the children, in live babies, into fire to sacrifice them unto Molech. And part of it was, there was a statue of Molech, which had his arms like outstretched like this, and what they would do was take babies and put them on the arms and turn the babies loose, and the babies would roll down the arms out of the stone or the statue hands into the fire to be burned. And so it's saying here, he destroyed that. He put an end to that. And verse 11, it says, he took away the horses that the kings of Judah had given to the sun at the entering in of the house of the Lord by the chamber of Nathan-Melech, the chamberlain, which was in the suburbs, and he burned the chariots of the sun with fire. What are chariots of the sun? Well, it's a part of pagan worship. And verse 12, the altars that were on the top of the upper chamber of Ahaz, which the kings of Judah had made, and the altars which Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord, did the king beat down and broke them down from thence, and cast the dust of them into the brook Kidron. And the high places that were before Jerusalem, which were on the right hand of the mount of corruption, which Solomon the king of Israel had builded for Ashtoreth, the abomination of the Zidonians, and for Chemosh of the abomination of the Moabites, and for Milcom, the abomination of the children of Ammon, did the king defile. Now what this is telling you is that Israel, the children of Israel, had strayed so far from God that they had been bringing in all these other pagan practices, all these other, the idols and statues and what have you, to worship these other gods. And it says, and he broke in pieces the images and cut down the groves and filled their places with the bones of men. Now, how can you fill the places with the bones of men? He's executing people. All of the pagan worshipers and so forth, like the priests that were serving these other gods, he's executing people. He's putting them to death. And it says, moreover, verse 15, the altar that was at Bethel and the high place which Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, had made, both that altar and the high place, he broke down and burned the high place and stamped it small to powder and burned the grove. Now, just jump to verse 19. And all the houses also of the high places that were in the cities of Samaria, which the kings of Israel had made to provoke the Lord to anger, Josiah took away and did to them according to all the acts that he had done in Bethel. And he slew all the priests of the high places that were upon the altars and burned men's bones upon them and returned to Jerusalem. Then if you jump down to verse 24. Moreover, the workers with familiar spirits and the wizards and the images and the idols and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem did Josiah put away, that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest had found in the house of the Lord. And like unto him, there was no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul, with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, neither after him arose there any like him. What a legacy. But there's more. Look in 2 Chronicles 35. There's more to this story. And what we're getting ready to read is just, to me, incredible, the heart of this man. We've already seen, he's basically saying, hey, if it ain't about Jehovah, it ain't in here. It's gone. And if you're a part of this, leading people to worship all these other gods, guess what? You die. We're going to kill you. We're even going to burn your bones. And here in 2 Chronicles chapter 35, look at verse 1. Moreover, Josiah kept a Passover unto the Lord in Jerusalem, and they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. Now, this begins describing how that he's telling the people of Israel, you know what, we're going back to God, we're getting rid of all this stuff. Now stop just a moment, I want you to think. The people who were involved with all this pagan worship, that's what they were doing. And then here comes this guy, Josiah, and he says, we're not doing this anymore. How many people do you think would have been upset with Josiah because he now is telling them what they're doing is wrong after they had been hearing it's okay? Do you follow this? They'd had pagan kings before them. I'm the king of Israel, you know, whoever. And it named some of these. And they begin introducing the worship of these other gods. Now, some of this worship, okay, you had the thing with the Sodomites. You also had the temples for like regular prostitution. All this kind of stuff's going on here. Because when you study the names of the gods identified and the worship of those gods, it was anything goes. All right? Now, here comes Josiah, and he says, now this is wrong. According to the word of God, this is wrong. And we're not having any of it. Absolutely none of it. And he goes around tearing stuff down, and people could have said, wait a minute, that was expensive. You know, I helped build that. You know, my grandpa, he was a part of constructing that. I gave good money for this. And he doesn't care. Why do you mean you're going to execute the priests of Molech? You know, that's my uncle. That's my daddy. What do you mean you're going to kill him? We're not having it. They die. So what we're reading here is one thing, but put yourself in this situation and understand there would have been some people very, very upset over what was going on. Now, of course, you would have had some people approving, yes, but you would have had people really upset about this. I don't see what the problem is. I don't see why it's such an issue. Well, he says here, we're going to keep the Passover. And if you look over here in verse 7 now, chapter 2 Chronicles 35, verse 7. Now look at this. And Josiah gave to the people of the flock, lambs, and kids, all for the Passover offerings, for all that were present, to the number of 30,000 and 3,000 bullocks. These were of the king's substance. Are you seeing this? He says, we're going to have a Passover. We're going to have sacrifices. We're going to honor God. And guess what, people? I'm going to be the one who supplies to you what you need for this. You're not going to be out anything. Boy, oh boy. When's the last time you were in a service and the pastor said, we're giving you money. Don't get your hopes up. All right, now. Oh, just having fun there. All right, now, but it says here, these were of the king's substance. And in verse 8, and his princes gave willingly unto the people, to the priests, and to the Levites, Hilkiah, and Zechariah, and Jehiel, rulers of the house of God, gave unto the priests for the Passover offerings 2,600 small cattle and 300 oxen. Cunaniah also, and Shemaiah, and Nethaneel, his brethren, and Hashabiah, and Jeiel, and Jozabed, chief of the Levites, gave unto the Levites for Passover offerings 5,000 small cattle and 600 oxen. So the service was prepared, and the priests stood in their place, and the Levites in their courses according to the king's commandment. But now look over in verse 14. And afterward they made ready for themselves, for the priests, because the priests, the sons of Aaron, were busied in offering of burnt offerings and the fat until night. Therefore the Levites prepared for themselves and for the priests, the sons of Aaron. And the singers, the sons of Asaph, were in their place according to the commandment of David. And Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun, the king's seer, and the porters waited at every gate that they might not depart from their service, for their brethren, the Levites, prepared for them. So all the service of the Lord was prepared the same day to keep the Passover and to offer burnt offerings upon the altar of the Lord according to the commandment of King Josiah. And the children of Israel that were present kept the Passover at that time and the feast of unleavened bread 7 days. And there was no Passover like to that kept in Israel from the days of Samuel the prophet. Neither did all the kings of Israel keep such a Passover as Josiah kept. And the priests and the Levites and all Judah and Israel that were present in the inhabitants of Israel. I mean, this guy is absolutely incredible. Not only does he, at age 26, he hears the word of God. And he says, that's it. Now that I know what the word of God has to say, we're taking action. And so he gets the people together with him that were serving him. And man, they just started going through the region. I mean, they were going through Israel, tearing things down, destroying things, executing people. They cleaned house. They weren't going to have anything of anything to do with anything that wasn't of God. Now, I don't know about you, but here we have Ahab on the one side, who did more to provoke God than anybody before him. Then we have Josiah, who did more to bless God than anybody before him. So I want to ask you something. Ahab, Josiah, they both died. Think about the legacy they left behind. Okay, what legacy do you want to leave behind? But there's one more king we want to look at. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. No, 1 Corinthians. I'm sorry, 1 Kings. Well, they both start with a K. So, 1 Kings chapter 15. In 1 Kings chapter 15, beginning in verse 9. And in the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, reigned Asa over Judah. And 41 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Michah, the daughter of Abishalom. And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. And he took away the Sodomites out of the land, and removed all the idols that his father had made. Now look at this next verse. And also Michah, his mother, even her he removed from being queen, because she had made an idol in a grove, and Asa destroyed her idol and burnt it by the brook Kidron. Now listen, you got to be bad to the bone to kick mama out of the house. I mean, this is serious business here. The guy, he tells his mom, boom, you're out of here, mama. You know, you made an idol. That's wrong before God. You should have known better, and you didn't. Can you imagine? What if you had tried to do that to your mom? Now, you say, I ain't that brave. I ain't never been. I mean, my mama's been dead for 30 years. I'm still not that brave. This guy, he was serious. When you tell your mother, pack it up and leave because you made an idol unto a god. But now look here. Verse 14. But the high places were not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord all his days. Now this is interesting. What were high places? High places were places that were established where people would go and worship other gods. Now, we read about Josiah. He went through the land. See, high places, let's say that Dayton, Ohio is Jerusalem. Well, there could have been a high place in Cleveland, but it had to be destroyed. In other words, if Ohio is Israel and Dayton is Jerusalem, the capital, and there's a high place in Cleveland, all right, Josiah went to Cleveland and tore down the high place. You follow what I'm saying? But Asa didn't do this. Yet it says that his heart was perfect with the Lord all his days. That almost sounds like a contrast. But it must not be, or this wouldn't be in here, written this way. Now, as I'm reading this, the Lord was impressing upon me, using these as examples, how that there's a message in here for us. Turn over to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Begin reading in verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We have been made kings and priests unto God. Let's focus on the kings part. We just read the story of three different kings. Now both, well, all three of these stories, each one of these kings was Jewish and should have known what he was doing was right or wrong. Should have known. But yet, we have Ahab, and Ahab represents for us the Christian who is living, 1 Corinthians 6, Galatians 5, Ephesians 5, and is Revelation chapter 3, about ready to have his name blotted out of the book of life. Josiah represents the king who completely sells out to God no matter what. No matter what. Everything that does not reflect God, is not a part of what God desires, was gone. And it didn't matter how much he was inconvenienced. He did it. And not only did he do it, but he turned around and he ministered. I mean, to me, that's just incredible. He said, we're having a Passover, but hey, don't worry. You guys, you're not going to be put out. Citizens, I'm giving to you. I'm providing for you what's necessary for the Passover. But then in between this, you have this guy, Asa. Now, it says that Asa's heart was perfect before the Lord. Well, he tore down the high places, or did he? Well, according to Scripture, he didn't. In other words, he didn't do like Josiah, but yet he did get rid of the Sodomites. He got his mama, chased her. Listen, when you do stuff like that, your heart has to be right before God. Mama, I'm sorry. This is an idol. It doesn't belong in the house of God. You have to leave. And we're destroying the idol too. You don't get to take it with you. We're destroying this. And as I was reading this, the Lord was ministering to me and saying, you know, you don't want to be an Ahab. I mean, that kind of goes without saying. Here's the thing. You've got a bunch of Ahabs in the body of Christ right now. They're doing these things, but they think all is okay. When Ahab, and again, you'd have to go back and read the whole story, but when Ahab was concerned about invading armies, You know, he made sure he was in church, if you will. He called in for prophets. He wanted to hear the word of God. He wanted to be sure everything was okay. And these prophets were telling him, oh, everything will be okay. Don't worry. Everything's fine. In other words, you're Jewish. You're handpicked by God. You're part of his people. So everything's okay. You'll be fine. And that's exactly what's happening today. You have Ahabs in the body of Christ who firmly believe everything is okay, and they have, quote, prophets telling them everything is okay. They're doing 1 Corinthians 9, Galatians 5. They're doing Ephesians 5. They're doing Revelation chapter 3. They've got this stuff going on in their lives, but yet the prophets, so to speak, the pastors and all, I mean, they're telling them it's okay. I mean, those guys are standing up and they're saying, we don't endorse sin. We're not telling you to go sin. But what we're saying is, if you do these things, the grace of God is there, the blood of Jesus, you're okay. You know, you're clean. Everything's fine. And so you have all these Ahabs. And they are provoking God, and they don't even realize it. They blame other people. They're blaming the Elijahs who rise up and declare the word of God. And they're saying, you're the one that's causing the problem. You're the one who's the Pharisee. You're the one that's messing everything up. You're the one that's trying to create strife. We're trying to make sure everybody's okay. We want everyone to know that God loves them. Elijah didn't have a problem letting people know that God loved them, but Elijah, he said, look, God's a holy God, and there's a standard. And so you have all these Ahabs in the body of Christ that think everything is okay. And listen, it didn't matter what happened through Elijah's ministry. Do you remember this story? Elijah, he shows up, and you have all these prophets of Baal. And Elijah says, all right, now listen, everybody. We're going to figure this out here right now. Who's on the Lord's side? Everybody just stood there and looked at him like a bunch of fools. They just stood and looked at him. And Elijah said, okay, all you prophets of Baal, you know, get your bullock and kill it and build your little altar to burn it and so forth. And when you read the story, man, these guys all day long, they're, oh, fire, 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 burn, burn, burn. But nothing. They start cutting themselves, blood all over the place. And Elijah's standing there and says, well, you know, yell louder, yell louder. Maybe he's taking a nap. Maybe he went to the bathroom. Yell louder, yell louder. And then finally Elijah says, okay, guys, just back off a minute here. Father, show them who's boss. Boom, the fire of God comes down, consumes everything. And what happened? Ahab gets mad. Says, how dare you mess up my thing? I am the king. I'm Ahab. And I'm in charge because Jezebel told me so. In spite of that, Ahab still rebelled against God. And that's what's happening today. The Ahabs are rebelling against God. See, you can get to a point as a Christian to where your heart is the heart of Ahab. When that happens, there's no turning back. Oh, you're still going to call... Ahab still called himself a Jew. I'm still a part of the chosen race. I'm still, you know, whatever he called himself. And you've got people today that the Bible says have been made kings unto God, but they become King Ahabs. But the Asa, this is the one that interested me. See, I think everybody would like to be a Josiah, right? To where everything is torn down, everything is exactly what it's supposed to. That's what we want to be. We want to be a Josiah. But the Lord was ministering to me on this. And basically, here's how it is. You can't be a Josiah until you go past being an Asa. In other words, it said that Asa, I mean, his heart was right before God. And, you know, all the things that he did and so forth to bring glory to God. But he didn't tear down the high places. And the Holy Spirit was ministering to me and shared how these high places recognize the things of the flesh in a believer that have not been mortified, but they're standing in between that believer and becoming a Josiah. It could be anything. See, Josiah had to go through a whole lot of inconvenience to do what he did. He could have just sat there in the throne room. He could have said, all right, look, we're going to worship God from now on. He could have done that. There are a lot of things that he could have done. But no, what he did was lead the charge. Symbolically, you can go to, you can be in all kinds of prayer lines, have people pray for you, lay hands on you. But you're the one that has to lead the charge against the flesh. The Holy Spirit will not do it. Now, he'll help, but he won't do it. We're the ones that have to tear down the high places. And see, the thing is, the high place, notice with Asa, it said that the high places weren't torn down, but yet his heart was perfect before God. Now, here's how that would apply to us. I'm not watching porn. I'm not cheating on my spouse. Well, I'm not drinking, and I'm not doing drugs. You know, I'm honest in all my business dealings. I don't lie to my boss, or I mean, on and on it goes. But could it be that for me, television is my high place? That I'm spending too many hours in front of the TV and not enough time before God. TV in itself is not a sin, but it can be a high place. All kinds of things can be high places. Recreation. Involvement with sports. Children can be a high place. You let the kids get involved with all kinds of stuff. In other words, it's not necessarily sin. And your heart can be perfect before the Lord. But high places are interfering with us making the progress to the place of being a Josiah. And we have to make that effort to tear down those high places, no matter what it takes, so that we can be like Josiah, to where all the stuff is gone, all the stuff is removed, no matter what it is. Now, it took Josiah time. I don't know how long it took him to get all this done. I don't know how many days, how many weeks, how many months. I'm really not sure. But I know it took time for him to go around and make sure that, you know, the wrong, you know, the houses of ill repute were all torn down. The groves were torn down. The idols were all burned. The groves and the high places and all the stuff there, the bad priests were executed. I mean, on and on and on it goes. We have to be sure that we tear down the high places just like he did, but it takes time. It takes time. We have to put forth the effort to do that, or else those high places are going to remain, but our heart could still be perfect before God. I mean, it almost sounds like a contradiction. And let me kind of put this a little bit differently. It's almost like God would be saying, look, your TV, and TV's an easy one to pick on. Your TV, you're watching too much of it. It's a high place in your life. But it's not sin. You're not watching trashy shows. You know, you're watching reruns of Andy Griffith. Reruns of Gomer Pyle. You understand, you're watching reruns of Gunsmoke and shows that aren't dirty. And God says, you know, it's not sin. It's not, but it's a high place. And it's keeping you from becoming a Josiah. And the only way that this is going to be rectified is that you have to make the effort, you know, get off the throne and tear down the high places. I'll help you out. I'll do what I can to help you out, but you have to be the one to do that. And if you don't, well, you won't become a Josiah, but your heart will still be perfect before me. Are you understanding this? Because see, what can happen is this. You can be in services where somebody's talking about, you know, television. Next thing you know, you walk out feeling like you're condemned and going to burn in hell because you've been watching television. Well, no. That's not the way it is. That's not the way it is at all. Of course, if you're watching the wrong stuff, set no evil thing before thine eye, right? Better not. The point that I'm making in this is we can be doing everything right as far as the 1 Corinthians 6, the Galatians 5, the Ephesians 5, and the Revelation 3 things are concerned. And we can sit back and think, man, you know, glory to God, I've conquered this. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not doing this over here anymore, and everything's okay. And God would come up and give you a big old hug and, you know, I commend you. I commend you. You're living by your new nature. But Josiah represents Jesus Christ. And if you want to be conformed to the fullness of the image of that glory, you got to tear down all the high places. Now what that means is we have to go before God and find out, okay, high places in me, what are they? And he'll be more than happy to show you. But he may not overwhelm you. He may say, okay, here's high place, this one right here. This right here is high place. You're like, okay, I'm going to beat that. And then you beat it. You tear it down. And oh, you're rejoicing. Yay, I whooped it. Yay, I am the champion. And then God says, whoa, hold on. That was high place number one. Now let's look at high place number two. And he's like, number two? Is there another one? He goes, yeah, we're just kind of getting started here. God, it took me 6 months to beat high place number one. And God says, well, then you're ready for the next battle, aren't you? You see what I'm getting at, guys? Our heart can be perfect before the Lord. But God knows we can go further. And let's be honest, we know it too. So it means, show me the high places. What are they? And then when he does, we begin attacking. We begin doing what we can. You know, you tear it down, stomp it into powder, burn it, and throw the ashes in Kidron. Get rid of the high places, and more of Josiah comes out. More of Christ. And we begin to see the fullness of Christ in us, the hope of glory, become the manifested glory. And it comes by tearing down the high places. So guys, I want you to be encouraged tonight. Don't take this as a message of some kind of rebuke. Nobody wants to be an Ahab. Everybody wants to be a Josiah. But right now, there's a good chance we're all Asas. Our heart is perfect before God, but we've got some high places to tear down. And praise God, the Holy Spirit, He'll help us. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise your name, Father. Father, I thank you again for the way that you've revealed these things in your word to us. And I ask you to begin revealing to us the high places. Because, Father, we have the ability to tear them down no matter how high they are. We can do it because your life in us is the strength we need to deal with these matters. I think we all, Father, want to be like Josiah, which is symbolic of being like Jesus. So I thank you for this, and I thank you for helping us in this way. And Father, my confession is that we will tear down the high places, and we will become like Josiah, meaning we'll be like Jesus, our example, the author and the finisher of our faith. Thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.